Welcome to Firm Up. I'm your host, Heather Elkington, and in this first series, we're going to be interviewing the founder of GoProposal, James Ashford. Throughout this podcast, we're going to be giving you the mindset and all the practical tips to run an exceptional firm. Welcome back, James.
Thank you.
So with this episode, something I don't think people talk about enough is the experience of how people are made to feel when they interact with a business.
Yeah.
So the feeling of like going home, and what memory do you go home with? Did you walk into the office and feel amazing and think, oh my God, I want to go with the services of these people?
Yeah.
So the name of this episode is you're not being compared to other accountants, meaning your accountancy business, when clients come to you and you give them a proposal, whether it's a new client or an old one, they're not comparing you to the other accountancy firm down the road. They're comparing you to every other company they've had interactions with. And I was having a conversation earlier today with some of the girls in the marketing team for GoProposal, and they're building this like amazing GoProposal members meetup. And I think something that comes naturally to some people and maybe not so naturally to others, which is why it's so important we talk about it, is seeing and knowing how to create an amazing experience for somebody else.
Yeah.
So the girls in the marketing team are amazing at it. So we're doing a members meetup, GoProposal members that are going to come to a location in Manchester, and we're going to create a talk for them and event and stuff. And they're talking about like with the location that they choose, why it's so important, the way that people are made to feel on the walk to the train station to the building. That's important. If they've got to get in a taxi, drive half an hour out of the city, go to an industrial estate, even if in the middle of the building it looks amazing, you've got amazing lights, whatever, you've eroded that experience, haven't you?
Yeah.
They might have bought a first class train ticket. They might have got really excited. They might have had a glass of Prosecco on the train. They then end up in this industrial estate. It just changes everything. So when we talk about you not being compared to other accountants, we're going to talk today about why it's so important to create an end-to-end experience for your clients, whether it be in person or just the way you give them experiences through technology and stuff, and why it's so important that accountancy firm owners and bookkeeping firm owners are very tuned into this and the things that they can kind of do to make sure they're tuned into it. I'm going to start us off by telling a story of when I've experienced this. I think we're going to have lots of stories that come out of this episode. So my friend, only a few days ago, had her Invisalign put on. So, you know, she's doing Invisalign. It's the braces thing. It's not cheap. It's thousands of pounds to do it. And she'd gone to three different dentists. And the reason she'd done it was so she could check she wasn't being charged absolutely a ridiculous price. And it turned out that all three were pretty similar.
Yeah.
So which did she go with? Which dentist did she go with to pay this person thousands of pounds? And it was the one that when she was sat inside the dental practice, it was like a beautiful, clean building. They had music playing. They put each customer went into like, they had their own little theater, and then they put you in a big comfy chair, brought you like a cold drink, came over and asked if you like want anything to calm you down if you're anxious. Like lots of different things about this experience. So she'd gone home thinking, oh my God, you know, that sort of stuff doesn't cost anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not more expensive than going to a dental studio down the road where they put you in the same building, but it's all very clinical and it all looks a certain way. So she chose to spend thousands of pounds with this practice that she'd gone to. So let's take it right back. You're not being compared to other accountants. Where did this philosophy first come from? You wrote this down. Where did it first come from?
Yes, it was when I first went to my accountancy place, as it was called then, it's now called MAP. But I've met Paul Barnes at an event a few times over a few months, then eventually went to see them because I was looking for a new accountancy firm myself. Went from Doncaster. I was going to do my usual joke there. I say, in Yorkshire, where God's from.
We've already done it once on the podcast.
A million times. Travel to Manchester, where it rains all the time. But that is true. I drove here today and I had sunglasses on. And then you get into Manchester, you're like, yeah, don't need these anymore. You can just take them off and you're okay. But yeah, so I got to the car park. If you think about my journey, so exactly what you said there, the whole journey. So from parked in the train station car park, paid for the app on my phone. As I walked to the train station, I'm booking my train ticket, first class ticket, as you've just described there. Got and bought a Starbucks. The woman knows my name. Had a bit of a chat with her. So I'm sat on the train. I get there. I order an Uber as I'm pulling into the station so that the Uber's already sat waiting for me. When I go outside, get in there, go to the accountancy firm office door. I don't quite know where it is. I know it's roughly on this street, but I'm not sure what door it is. I'm now looking for signage. Is it this door? Is it the next door over? and they've got a bell. There's two bells. Which one? I don't want to annoy someone in another office. Do I press this one? They've got buttons on it. Do I press the big button? Do I press the numbers? So you do it. You finally go in and you sit down. No one knows you're meant to be there other than Paul, who's meeting me. So they'd be like, what's your name? You know, and I'm James. I'm here to meet Paul, etc. And then I went and sat down with them and we discussed our services that I wanted from them. He did a great consultative sales process. Got to the end of the process and they were using Practignition at the time to produce all of their engagement letters, which is a solid product. But what it meant was they couldn't do the proposal during the meeting because it's an administrative tool. So we get to the end of the proposal meeting and I said, right, where do I sign? He said, it doesn't work like that because all he'd had up until that point was an Excel spreadsheet. We have to put this into our system and we'll send you a proposal out. And then so I'm like, okay, no worries. So I left there, but he didn't say when. So I kept checking my phone and refreshing my emails as I'm walking back to the train station, get back home, checking again, still nothing. And got back to Becky and she said, how was it? I said, brilliant. We found the right accountancy firm to be working with us. Next question, how much is it? Told her how much it was. Oh my God, what are we getting for that? Well, I have no idea, but it sounded really good. And then you start to talk yourself out of it now because I don't have any evidence to show why that was the right thing. It took them a few days because only, I think it was Amy in the office used that software. She only works Tuesdays and Thursdays. You have to wait for her to come back in to create an engagement letter effectively, send it through and then use that. And one of the things was while I was in his office, there was a book on the side that I was interested in. So I just ordered it on my Amazon app and the next day it arrived at my house. I'd still not had his proposal for like two or three more days, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so when we finally came to the conversation, we'd built up a good relationship because I'd met him, like I say, a few times at this event. I said, can I just be honest about the experience I've had with you? And he said, yeah. And I talked him through it. And he said, yeah, but we're better than the other accountancy firms. And I said, yeah, but I'm not comparing to them. I'm comparing you to my train station booking app, comparing you to Uber. I'm comparing you to the fact that I ordered a book on Amazon. This is fast. I've ordered a book on Amazon and I got it the next day. You've still not got me a proposal out the door. And now I'm falling out with Becky about how much we're going to be spending with you. So you've actually created this roller coaster of an experience that's really tapered off. And now you've got to dig me back out of it. And that was actually the spark of Go Proposal because I said, I can actually make this experience fantastic for you instead. And that was when we saw this huge opportunity and we developed the product. But it is just that. And I've always been fascinated about, when you talk about experiences, businesses, accountants, they can think it's fluffy. It's something over here. We'll do all this cool stuff, the important stuff that we need to do. We'll talk about experiences at another time. It's icing on the cake. That's not the case. I'm a big fan of systems. I love systemizing. A business shouldn't be run by people. A business should be run by systems and the people should run the systems. If you don't have systems and processes in place, there's nothing on which to improve. If you're just doing it how you want this day, that's fine. But then you're going out for a meal tomorrow night, you'll cut a corner and then all of a sudden that process gets eroded. We have to lock them down with systems. They have to be written down, locked down. You have to automate them as best you can. They need to be checked. Whatever you expect, you have to inspect. There has to be an inspection process and there has to be an improvement process. So every 3 months, 6 months, whatever, there has to be a way of how can we make these systems and processes better. The reason why we systemize is because we want to create consistency. We want our staff to be operating very efficiently. We want to be able to know how much money we're going to make, et cetera, et cetera. We want to be able to scale the business. You might want to sell the business. You might want to franchise the business. All these reasons why you systemize. The ultimate reason, the top tier level of ultimate systemization is to provide an incredible experience for your customers. Experience is not something that sits on the side. It's the highest level and demonstration of correct systemization because the way you make the experience changes the way people feel. And the way you make them feel will be remembered long after they've forgotten what you've done for them. That is why it's the most important thing.
100%. There's just so much to kind of go into here. I'd love to talk about, if anyone's ever seen anything I've posted on LinkedIn or that I'm really passionate about ever, it's about leadership and culture and the way that our team experiences can create something special. So that has to also then, those special experiences have to come internally into your team, which like building the Go Proposal office was so important for us. Mm. And having like the culture and the core values all over the walls and then having the culture like within our DNA was like a gritty startup who had to kind of fight their way. We were the underdogs. We had to fight our way to the top. We didn't have money. We didn't have huge amounts of resources, but we built an amazing community. As fluffy as it sounds, we had to turn that into an office space. And so it was like, we weren't going to get the swanky glass-fronted white-walled space in Spinning Fields. We were going to get the exposed brick industrial-looking thing in Ancoats, which in Manchester, those two places would make sense. But yeah, so it also kind of goes into the team. Wow moments then in that experience in an accountancy firm. I know one of them that you've spoke about, specifically a map, was, I don't know if you actually created this or whether it was created before you arrived, but it was the board. You see, you walk in.
I made it.
Did you?
I made it myself.
I thought that might be the case.
Yeah.
So you walk it. So this one was just brilliant. So any client or vendor or any person external to the business came to the office, and instead of them going through the experience of not knowing which button to press, feeling a bit awkward when they knocked on the door because the team all had their heads down and not knowing which person they were having the meeting with, they walked in and there was this massive board saying, welcome, person, company.
Yeah.
They just immediately feel welcome. They want to take a photo, share it on social media. The whole team were trained to put their head up and say hello. Changes everything.
Like an old school, it was like an old school cinema front. Yeah. It was cinema letters and it had their name and welcomed them. Yeah.
Yeah. So where did that come from?
In my marketing agency that I had many years ago, I don't want to claim credit for this idea because it just seems too good. I normally steal my best ideas. So, but let me just take credit because I think I might have come up with it. But it was, I designed this parking space.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a parking sign and it had a clear window on it. So it had my company name on it and a clear window. And then an A4, I designed it. I got the sign company to make it. So then what Megan would do is she'd print out the company name that morning. And she'd slide it into the parking space. So it would say, Rocket Powered welcomes Heather Elkington or Sage or whoever it was. And it'd be in the parking space. And we wouldn't tell you it was there. You would just arrive. We'd send a video out showing you how to find us, where to park. You'd pull into the space. So you come in and you see this beautiful parking space with your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You drive into it and people get out and photograph it. Okay. And what it does is it says, we've thought about you before you've arrived. It says, we care. The ultimate thing I think you want to know from a business is that they care about you, because you know that if they care about you now, if something goes wrong, they'll care about you still. And that's what you want. That's what you want to know, really, that you want certainty that you're with someone that cares. And so to my mind, an experience, you talked about values, but it's an extension of, does this company care about me? And then we started to do this with other businesses that I work with. So having names literally up in lights when you walk up makes people feel significant as well, which is a huge emotion. I did it once with another company where beforehand, someone would ring you and say, you're going to be arriving on the day. Can we just make sure we've got everything in that you like to drink? What's your preference? Coffee? Can I ask you how you like it? So I can make, okay, oat milk, two sugars. Brilliant. Thank you. I've remembered where I stole it from now. I've remembered where I stole it from because it came from this. They would get a cup ordered with your name on it, Heather Elkington, with how you like your coffee. So you turn up into a meeting, no one's asked you if you want a drink. It's because they're already making it. They know how you like it. And they bring it through with your name on it, with their company branding on. And part of the psychology was, you're part of the team.
Yeah.
You're part of the team on day one. I do know where I got this from now. It's a friend of mine I've worked with years ago. He's called Andy Hanselman in Sheffield. And he was all about these wow moments. And what they would do is, they would find out what football team you supported. And they would have your, so if you turned up, Joe, they'd have a Chelsea cup sat there ready for you and they'd bring it out. And they became quite famous for this. But then this one guy turned up with a few other people and he supported this like real obscure Yeovil or something. I don't know, some unusual thing. They brought everyone else's cups in, Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever. And they're like, he's like, I bet you don't even know what team I support. And they're like, we do. And they brought the cup out. And it's just that welcoming to the family, making you feel special, making you feel significant, showing that we've thought about you before you've come here and demonstrating that you care.
That's it. When I worked at Harrods down in London, and it was creating a VIP customer experience for customers who were literally spending £500,000 on alcohol. They were spending money like you've never seen before. And this is kind of what changed my views on money and just how much of it actually exists out there in the world. Creating those experiences, and it is all around luxury, and luxury doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to have had thought put into it beforehand. So something that we've done at the Go Proposal office, it's based in psychology, but it's so simple that an accountancy firm could do, is have a coffee menu.
Yeah.
So we've got one now at the Go Proposal Sage office that Lydia created.
Oh, nice.
So you have a coffee menu. And what it does, when anyone comes to the office, whether it's our clients, whether it's like a software provider, anyone that we want to welcome and feel welcomed in our environment, you always offer them a coffee, don't you, or a hot drink or something. Just as we touched on in the last podcast, everyone's default position is no. I don't want to put you out. I want to be polite. And also you just sometimes like, you're not sure. So you just panic and say no. So then my thought was always, right, I'll ask them again in a minute when they've sat down and they've settled. Are you sure you don't want a cup of tea? I'm going to make one anyway. Like, yeah. I'm just, come on. Are you sure it's not putting me out? I can get you one. Normally by the time you've asked the third time, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, we've got herbal tea. We've got everything, oat milk, whatever you want. Yeah. But actually to get rid of all that and to say, you are not putting us out. We have all these options. It takes 1 second to make. And actually, it's a very normal thing for us to do. We put a coffee menu in the middle of the meeting table. And it's just that tiny moment of like, this is a special place. This office has got a coffee menu. Even though it's exactly the same as any other office that we've got, either a machine or a kettle or instant coffee, whatever it is. But it takes away like psychologically that feeling of I'm unwelcome. I need to say no. I need to sit with a straight back. And all of a sudden you're like, I'll have a coffee.
Let's just take this. Let's just focus on coffees.
Right.
This is so important. So again, I mentioned this in the last episode, but my friend Paul Goff with the physio practice, what was really unique about them is they would do half day training every single week. So on a Wednesday morning, the entire team would stop. You can't get an appointment then. And they'd be developing themselves. We do a group session and then they break off into their individual sections and do different stuff. And one of the best training sessions I ever saw, and I know you've got some of that thinking there because I've shared it with you before, but it's about how you offer someone a coffee. So what they're about to do is they want to sell someone a 12-week care package, for example. But if you can't sell someone a coffee, because selling isn't necessarily for cash, but I mean selling them on the idea of having a coffee, what chance have you got of doing the next thing? So what would happen is you walk in, the receptionist, you'll never see this anywhere else you go to. And the detail they thought about it, and they practiced over and over again. The first thing the receptionist does is come from behind the counter and comes and greets you. Just that in its own right. How many places have you ever been to? Tell me if this doesn't wind you up. Where someone sat doing something and they don't even look up to see you.
Yeah.
All you want to do is say, I'll breathe in a second. Like, that's all you need from them.
At restaurants sometimes.
Oh, how irritating, right? We walked out of a restaurant last week because we stood waiting. Beautiful restaurant. They spent all this money on the decor, on the chefs, on the kitchen, everything else. We stood there, waited. She had her head down. She knew we stood there at the podium. And after about 30 seconds, we just turned around and walked out. And I'm like, how can you get this so wrong?
Yeah.
You spent all this money on everything else. So the receptionist would come out and say, can I get you a coffee? To which the answer is, everyone has always just had one. I'm good, thanks. I've just had one. It's not a problem. I've got a menu. We do the best coffee in town. I can get anything you want. Honestly, I'm just okay. I'm having one. I'm about to make one anyway. It's not a problem. And I've just opened a new packet of biscuits. Please let me have a coffee with you. Okay, go on then. And then she goes and sits with them, chats to them, finds out about them. And then they go in to have their treatment plan. What a very different experience this is. This is my challenge to anyone listening to this. We make good coffee at home. We've actually got a Sage machine. Not Sage as in the cash shop, but a different Sage, right? So we make good coffee at home, okay? I've ordered takeout cups because how many times you have someone will come over and they'll leave. I said, do you want a coffee to go with? So you give them a coffee, right? But what I do now is I'll do it with delivery people. So we had a Tesco's delivery before Christmas, whatever, and the woman was there. And I said, can I get your coffee? Oh, I'm good, thanks. I've got to fly out and do this. Look, so now I just do it as a challenge to myself. Can I give a coffee to the person delivering stuff to you? Can you sell them on that idea? Look, it's not a problem. I do the best coffee you will have ever tasted today. It takes me 2 minutes. I'm going to do it with hot milk, whatever milk you want. Yeah. What do you think? Go on then. Okay, I will. And in fact, when I made it for her, I'd even run out of cups. So all I had was a Starbucks color changing plastic takeaway cup. So I made it and she's like, can I keep the cup? I'm like, yeah, go for it. And here's a bar of chocolate. So she was absolutely buzzing. So I just do that as a test to myself, which is just making someone's world a little bit better. But just how can you brighten someone's day, demonstrate that you care, show that you love someone, that you're thankful for them, that you're grateful for them, go out of the way for them to make that moment much more special.
Especially, not more importantly, but especially if it's a client that you're about to sell to.
Yeah.
So we are, if I go back to the GoProposal members meetup, because I just had a great conversation with the marketing team about this morning. So we're going to have it in this amazing location, amazing speakers. It's just going to be an incredible day. The accountant's retreat, it's just going to be brilliant. And the whole focus is creating an amazing experience for our customers and ensuring that they leave at the end of the day with value. So like lots of enough value to constitute paying for the event and giving up a day of their valuable time. So it's just going to be amazing. They'll do a great job of it. One of the things that we were talking about is when people arrive and they sit down in their place. Say you're going to a networking event. Obviously, networking terrifies anyone. You can be the most confident. You and I are confident people, and we don't like, I do not actively enjoy going to a networking event. They're awful and they're scary, but we all know it's valuable. It's a valuable thing to do for our business. And so we're like, how can we remove some of that scariness? So we've got tables. In which positions are we going to put them? Okay, let's put people in groups based on goals so that when they sit down, they're not in a massive table, so they don't know who to talk to. They've got a specific group. Then let's cut the small talk and aid the conversation. So let's give them prompts on the table to just get them not feeling uncomfortable. And then it got to the point where we're like, how do we make it so that they sit down and they go, oh my God, this is going to be the best day of my life. And the bit we got to was, so we're going to have like some sort of pack on the table, some sort of branded something that's valuable for them to use for the day and take away. We're saying, let's go further than that. Let's put their branding on it. So like everyone that buys a ticket, let's do like a company times go proposal, something valuable. And it's like getting to that level.
Yeah.
And you might think these are the silly things because there's a million and one events out there that put speakers on and do things. And it's not to say that if you go to another event and watch the same speakers that you won't leave with the same value in terms of learning, but you will absolutely feel so much differently about the company that has hosted that event, and you will want to stay with them forever.
Yeah.
But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give that experience to people. It's like what the small details are not wasted.
No. I don't think you can do any of that unless the thing you provided them with is exceptional. Mm-hmm. So unless you've got a great event that's well-structured, well-organized, great speakers, great value, etc. And once you've got all them things right, then you can do all these other bits that make the whole thing brilliant. So I think what it subliminally does is it demonstrates the quality of everything else. If this is the quality of what we can see and experience, going back to you, an accountancy firm, if when you turn up, they know your name. It's a very different thing that when you arrive somewhere, there's a hotel we go to, it was voted the best hotel in the UK. It's called Grantley Hall in Ripon. And when you arrive, you turn up at the outer gate. So it's like a long, crunchy drive. And there's a guy that meets you at the end. He takes your name. Hi, can I ask you your name, please? Thank you. There you go. So it's just a little incidental thing. And you drive down the drive. And then when you get there, a guy comes up, you wind you down. Hi, is it Mr. and Mrs. Ashford? Hi, great to see you today. We've been expecting you, been looking forward to seeing you. You don't have to do anything. Just hand me your keys. We'll take your car. This is so-and-so. She's going to take your cases. I hope you don't mind. We've already poured you a glass of champagne. Would you like to come through and we'll welcome you into the hotel? So you're greeted just by names. It's just a little simple device, a little simple trick. But they can only do that because every single thing else in that experience is absolutely exceptional. The cleanliness, through a Michelin star hotel, like the quality of everything is great. Only then can they start to do those extra things. I think hotels and hospitality, we've both worked in hospitality, is a really interesting thing when you look at experiences. You know, of when you go out, especially in the UK, it really wound me up. You stood at a bar for ages, right? So you're there with your friends, then you have to go to the bar and you stood there and you're always thinking, why am I queuing? Is someone else going to push in front of me? Why have they only got two members of staff on? Have they got the drink I want? And for 10 minutes or 5 minutes you stood there, that is not why I'm at that restaurant. I have not gone to that restaurant. I've gone to be there with my friends. They do not understand why I'm at that place. You go to America, it's a different experience. But come sit down, come and serve at your table. They want you to stay with your friends as much as possible. And the moment your glass gets like a third from the bottom, they're there, they're on it. And they make more money from it as well.
Yeah.
That customer service is just much higher because they understand why you're here and they're facilitating that to the very best of their ability.
There's one thing that's really important that I want to talk about. It's a little bit off topic, but it's to serve. So to serve people. And I had an amazing conversation with a lady called Hannah who works for Paul Scanlon. So Paul Scanlon, an influencer that we both follow and love, talks a lot about communication and things like that. And he has at the time she was his assistant, I think she's does a different role now, but I met her in Leeds and we had a great conversation over a coffee and she was explaining to me the importance of being in service to people and how often being in service to either your boss or your friend or when you're at a job, being in service at a restaurant to your customers, people belittle it. People think it's like a bad thing to do. They think it's a low value job. And therefore, like, how often do you see people won't make a coffee because it's the assistant's job? And it's not, you know, there is value in that because there's time savings, whatever. It's changing the mindset around that, in thinking that being in service to someone is actually a really great thing to do. Have you heard that before?
Yeah. Paul does a big thing. Paul Scanlon does a big thing about it, about servant leadership as well.
Yeah.
Like, how can you, if you're a leader, be in service of your staff? And I think it'd be interesting to touch upon this. Like, you do great experiences about new members of staff joining GoProposal on their first day and provide an incredible experience for them. Because with experiences, it has to be like a stick of rock. Amazing experiences, it has to be through the middle of it. So if you cut any part of it, it has to be incredible. So you can't say we're providing a great customer experience, but then you provide a terrible experience to a new member of staff that turns up that day. Every single aspect of your company has to do it. And you're absolutely right. People don't like to be in the service of others. We've both been in service roles, in waitering, waitressing roles. I've been a cleaner, various things. And I like it. In the morning when I wake up, I'm in the service of my family.
Yeah.
So I will make a cup of tea, I'll make breakfast for my kids. If they want a pancake, I will, every single day, I will try and make that pancake better than the previous day. Be beautifully thin with Nutella spread on it and fruits in it. I always cut it on a diagonal angle. I sprinkle a crunch of sugar on top, squeeze orange juice, and then in opposite direction, I will drizzle honey on it for them and serve that up. If I'm making, this is a bit much. I think I was too much in the service of Becky the other day, but I messaged her and I said, would you like breakfast in bed? Do you want me to bring up? I've got asparagus, poached eggs on crumpets. These are the best. They're called crackle eggs. They're from the Cotswolds. They're the best poached eggs, best eggs you can get. And I've got my poached egg recipe down now, locked down.
Oh,
the trick is you crack it into a sieve and you let the runny part of the white egg go away first. And then you pour it into a pan with a bit of vinegar in it and you stir it. They are like restaurant quality eggs, I am telling you. So I've messaged Becky, do you want asparagus and poached eggs on crumpets? She said, I do, but I don't want crumpets. I want my initials cutting out of toast. I'm like, absolutely, sweetheart. So I cut her initials in toast and serve up on that. That is the level I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I will do that for my kids and for Becky. Make everyone cups of tea. I'll make builders. Builders arrived, are at the doing work on our garden. They arrived yesterday. I said, can I get you a drink? We're all right, thanks for that one. I'd serve the best coffee in Doncaster. You never had one better than me. Can I make you one, please? Yeah, okay. And as an extra treat, I've just bought bacon from the butchers and some fresh bread. Can I do all a bacon sandwich? Well, we're good, honestly. Please let me go on then. We love one. So I've made them all bacon sandwiches. I know they're going to work better that day when they've done
that. Just enjoy it more. Just love turning up to work. They're going to be like, oh, and go home and tell the family about these experiences.
It's just fun. But I will feed the builders, Becky, the kids. I'll feed my dog.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn my attention to myself. To my mind, that's like, you're in the service of others, making sure everyone is in the best position, the best frame of mind, best start to the day, whatever, then I'll look after myself.
Yeah. It's just such an amazing concept. And I've always been, you and we've had this conversation before, I've always been so comfortable being second in command.
Hmm.
And when I say comfortable, that's not to mean like comfort zone, it's too comfortable. I mean, I love being in service of other people. My job before this, one of the roles I was in was a executive assistant, and we used to have quite big meetings. They had this boardroom. They'd have people from like really high up in the music industry come in. And it's, Heather, can you make cups of tea? So I'd take orders, and I bought like a restaurant notepad. This was absolutely not my job. Like, absolutely not in my job. I was there to do much higher value things. But I knew I was about to, they were trying to make a sale, and I'm like, let me help you do this.
Yeah.
So they'd come, and I'd bought some stuff off. I was looking at the whole office. So I'd bought, I was in anticipation of this meeting happening, but it was for other meetings as well. And I bought a silver tray with some of these glass cups and a herbal tea pot. So you put it in, and it was just a really fancy one. And my boss always wanted Earl Grey tea. So I'd made this amazing show, and I bring it in like with like one hand and put it down, and their faces, it was like, because it was like they're in a restaurant when they're just having a meeting.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact in their head, they're like, this is a great place. This is a great office. Yeah. But likewise, you come to a place like GoProposal, my role now is director of operations. And until very recently, that's second in command to you. So it's always been your person who will, you'll do the entrepreneurial kind of big thinking vision stuff. And I will then put that into action. And the amount of times you've said to me over the last few years, oh, I don't want to be a diva, but can I? I'm like, you're not a diva. If I can help you grow this business more, I don't care if I'm driving to the other side of the country, as long as you pay for my petrol. I don't. Do you know what I mean, though? It's not, a lot of people look at that and be like, oh, for God's sake, he's making me do this. I'm like, no, I can see the bigger vision here. This thing that I am doing in service of someone else is going to enable us all to move towards this collective goal. So we have gone a bit off topic, but we're kind of going back to that. You're not being compared to other accountants. You have to focus on these experiences you're creating for your customers. Your team have to be bought into it. If your team think they're too above making a cup of coffee, then you've got cultural problems.
Yes, it's a big point that there can't be anything beneath you.
No.
There's nothing. I remember going to, because I was a director of my accountancy place for a few years, and I remember turning up one day, because they're in like middle of Salford. So it's like, if people have been drunk the night before, whatever, you don't know what you're going to see on the doorstep, like a takeaway wrapper or something, and a couple of fag ends and or something or whatever. And I walked in, so I was like, so I come on the train, so I got there a bit later, maybe got there about 10 o'clock, and I walked in, everyone was in there working, everyone else had walked over all that stuff. And I went in and I said, guys, you've all walked over what I've just seen out there. How do none of you think this is your job? What if a customer was to turn up now? What if a new customer was to turn up now? And to demonstrate, I had to clean it all up, but then I got soap, got on my hands and knees, and I scrubbed the steps and I showed them how clean you can make a doorway. And if there is something beneath you, if you're not prepared to be in the service of others and to do your very best and every single part of it, whether it's cleaning the doorstep on the way in or whatever, you're all contributing to the overall experience of your customers. If I went to an accountancy firm and you had crap on your doorstep and you're not cleaning up, my first question, you do this yourself, you go to a restaurant and you go to the toilets, and they're not as clean or they don't quite smell fresh or whatever, your next thought is, what about the kitchen? If they're not this clean here, how clean are the kitchens, right? So you turn up to an accounting firm and the step's dirty, whatever, your next question is, what else are they not doing?
Yeah.
They don't care about this, so what else do they not care about? Great experiences demonstrate that you care about everything. Yeah. They hold everyone to the highest possible standard. The thing that is controlling your results in your business has got nothing to do with your competition. It's got nothing to do with the economy or anything else. It's to do with your standards. Are you prepared to maintain the highest possible standards in everything? We do it with GoProposal. I always remember when someone signs up, we send our welcome pack out to them. I remember we prepared them once and all the stamps were at an angle. I'm like, yeah, we're not sending them out. Take all the stamps off. We'll start again. I'm like, yeah, but it's still going to get there. I'm like, I know it's going to get there, but it's just as easy to put that stamp on straight as it is at an angle. So let's start again. Let's set the standard. Let's photograph it. Let's put it on the wall and let's stick to that standard. That's experience. When that arrives, it's a great experience. When they see the stamp being straight or at an angle, subliminally at some level, either demonstrates that you care or that you don't. Are you prepared to go to that level?
Couldn't agree more. I'm going to take us now into, so we've talked a lot about physical experiences and how you can make people feel physically when they come to your office, but that's probably just a small fraction of the experience with another company. Most of it, especially in 2023, is online. And we have, so GoProposal is our main product, but we also have OverSuite. So OverSuite is a product that is smart engagement like a product. So it isn't about a big shift in mindset. It's about being compliant. It's about your firm being risk-free. And the brand that sits around that, as a result, has to be incredibly strong. So we know if we post a graphic on OverSuite social media, if it is slightly pixelated, as a potential customer, you could see that and think, if their graphic is pixelated, how on earth are they going to keep my firm from going to court?
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about physical experiences. Yeah, I now want to just talk about, because I have been on a lot of websites for accountancy firms and they look like they've been built in 1992.
Yeah.
And it's just how important it is that when you go to a website, you receive an email, you see an ad, you see a post on social media. The standard of that, and this doesn't mean you have to be a graphic designer.
No.
And also, if you want to create amazing things, there's a lot of software out there like now, like Canva, where you can create graphic design level things in seconds. How important is it to have a great website and have a great digital experience?
It comes back again that it's every part of your business. You know, every corner of your business has to be provide a great experience as possible. Like, are you only open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, for someone to get hold of you in terms of when you're going to respond to them? Because it might be Sunday night when a business owner's got their head in their hands and that's actually when they want to take action. And so they may find your website on a Sunday night and think, I want to do something about this. Mm-hmm. Have they got a method of getting in touch with you? Is there a way that I could book a meeting in your diary or a discovery call? Because if I did that, I feel a sense of relief, right? I feel I've done something, I've moved something forward. And with technology, you can create all those experiences. You can trigger videos off, you know, you can... A virtual world, people neglect this, but you're just trying to recreate the real world. That's what you're trying to do. And so the experience that you would want when someone would turn up at your office to be greeted, hi, how you doing? You know, how can I help you, et cetera? This is what we're going to do for you. That can all be recreated online with some very simple technology, very cheap technology. You've all got a HD video camera in your pocket. You could film a greeting, a welcome video. You could, you know, capture someone's data, book them into a meeting and say, hey, thank you for booking the meeting. Really, really appreciate that. This is what's going to happen next. You can guide them through that with video. And absolutely, again, there is no excuse for having poor quality branding, poor quality logos, a poor quality website, because all of these things, they're either making me think nothing, or they're making me think something positive, or they're detracting from the experience. And a really interesting thing is I did it this year, a few years ago with a garden designer. And curiously, they've now just started work on our garden. So I'm now experiencing this firsthand. But what happens when you get a garden designed and then they come to implement it, you've got a garden already, right? It might not be great, but you have a garden already. He's turned up, Lee's called, and he's created this beautiful vision of what the garden's going to look like. And you're like, yes, game on, let's go for it, okay? And you part with your cash. You're a bit nervous when you part with your cash, but you go for it. What happens next? Builders turn up and turn your garden into a building site. They smash it all down, they dig it all out, whatever. And you're like, oh my, why on earth have I done this? So we've done this week with him. So we've got an oak tree. This is going to upset some people because it upset us in the front of our garden. But where it was growing, it only had a few years left and it would have to have come out because it was going to affect the house. It was going to affect the driveway, etc. It was causing all these problems with various other things. So what we did was we had it removed. To ease our conscience, we planted 40 oak trees in a national park nearby, paid for that to have done. And we've got 3 6-meter-high trees being planted in our garden next week. These are coming from Germany. They're the biggest trees in Europe available at ridiculous cost garden.
I don't even want to know.
So they're going into the garden, right? Okay.
Yeah.
My point is when the tree came out, Becky cried. She got upset. Why has this happened? This morning, we got a skip on the drive. She couldn't get out, take the kids to school. She rang me up saying, how are we going to get the kids to school, et cetera? And I had to turn back and get them to school. My point is what I got him to do, Lee, is to map out the experience. And you can do this really simply. You don't need any technology. Get a big whiteboard, get a big sheet of paper and roughly map out every step of the process. So they've come to the website, they've made contact with us, they've received some comms, they've turned up for the first meeting, they've had a proposal, blah, blah, blah. Map out the entire process as much as you can. Map out what you think the experience is, from 0 being, I absolutely hate you, I never want to talk to you ever again, 100 being, you've lit me up, this is the best decision ever. So how do they feel when they come to your website? Then when they click through to book with you, how do they feel? Then how do they feel? And you can look at how their emotion and their experience drops off over time. What you ideally want to do is get then people to go through that for you. You either get family or friends, or there's companies that you can pay for to do a customer experience with you. I was listening to the podcast the other week about the Five Guys franchise. Mm. They mystery shop every restaurant twice a week. They mystery shop it to do this type of thing. So you're effectively mystery shopping yourself. When I did this with my accountancy place, I created this map. And at every step, I produced a little video. This is how I feel now. I've signed up with you and I've not heard from anyone for a week. This is how I now feel. It's not always about something that you do. It could be something that you don't do. And then if you know that that emotion drops off or the experience drops off at that point, then you can think, what could we do to counter that experience at this point? So what Lee does after the first week of starting your garden, when your garden's been ripped to pieces, he sends you an invite to a local restaurant. And he just sends a little note that says, you must be getting a bit stressed now with your garden. Here's a picture to remind you of where we're heading. Here's a voucher for your local restaurant to go out and have a bit of a break from it all today. You can counter this and create great experiences even when things start to drop off.
Amazing. That's great, James. Thank you. So the message I just wanted everyone to hear today is that experiences aren't this wishy-washy thing, especially when you're an accountancy firm and you kind of see your business. The outside world sees accountancy as boring, whether we like it or not. They think that it's the boring trade. Do not let that impact the way you run your business. Do not become the boring accountant. Don't have a boring website. Put your personality into it. We know some of the best firms that we know that have the best experiences put, like, what is it, Stephen Edwards, the amazing, the strength in numbers, because he's a heavy weightlifter. And he's, as a result, turned his entire, like, office and name and brand into this experience around him and, like, his authentic personality. And as a result, it's just memorable and people leave feeling like they feel close to that business.
Yeah.
So just do not see experiences as wishy-washy or passive. It's a huge part of running a business and bringing in the best customers.
Yeah. I remember Ty Bolly Tomlin in Cheltenham when I first went to see them, and they have a champagne fridge and above it, it says for champagne moments. So whenever they get any of their customers in through anything to celebrate, whether they've got a new member of staff, whatever, they crack a bottle of champagne over for champagne moments. Don't be afraid to put your mark on it. Absolutely. Bring your personality to it. It creates an incredible experience. It demonstrates to clients that you care. And what you find is that you'll keep clients for longer. You'll sign them up much quicker. They'll talk about you. If you want your clients to talk about you, if you want them to remark about you, you have to be remarkable.
Yeah.
You have to give them something worth remarking about. They can't go out and shout out about how they've just made loads more money or how you've just completed a great set of accounts. No one is ever, I'm afraid, going to shout about that or that you completed the self-assessment on time or whatever, or accurately. But they will shout about having their name in lights when they turn up or having their cup there or a video or whatever. So give them things that they can shout about. And then on a practical level, you'll keep those customers longer. They'll spend more with you. You'll be able to increase prices. You'll make more money. You'll be able to invest in your team, develop staff training, keep your staff for longer, which in turn will keep your clients for longer. Everything just starts going up when you start to think about this stuff.
Absolutely. And we'll then put you on the level with the brilliant experiences you've had from Uber, Amazon, all these different things. Create the wow moments. Thank you, James.
Thanks.